realise, look, I have to speak really quickly now. You have to slow me down later, all right? Let's look at some, put my first scripture up, please. Lord, help me make some sense. Speak to the people. Give them answers this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, here we go. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now have come salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Point number one, the devil is an accuser. He plays radio accuse 24/7. It's always on, okay? To tune into it, you have to do nothing. You just have to open your eyes and start thinking, and you'll start thinking accusational, discouraging thoughts. Another point. The Walt Disney movie starts in heaven, all right? It's going to be great. But here on earth, there's no Walt Disney movie. The devil doesn't let up. He doesn't leave you alone. But God hasn't left us without weapons, without ways to silence him, and we're without ways to change the channel in our heads. And that's really what I'm wanting to just talk about a little bit here. Verse 11 explains a bit. It says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Now that is Jesus dying on a cross. We can put things under the blood. The devil shouldn't be able to torment you with your past, because you can say to him, that is under the blood. Leave me alone. You know, the Apostle Paul, who potentially had killed over 1,000 people, Christians. I mean, he had baggage, Paul did. And yet, he wrote, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward. So we deal with the past by the blood of Jesus. And that is when it says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And the second part of it was, well, it's really three parts, by the word of their testimony, which I'm going to come on to now, by the word of the testimony. And then it says they didn't love their lives so much as to shrink from death. I really haven't got time to go into the last part, but I want to just talk about word of our testimony. The word of our testimony is really the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. Jesus in the wilderness was led by the devil, led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and was there tempted by the devil. And the devil came to him after he'd been fasting for 40 days. And the devil gets to you when you're weak, doesn't he? And he came on and he got him with three temptations, bread, leaping off the temple, bowing down and worshiping him. And each time he came back with, it is written. And I just want to explain, and really this is almost exactly the same sermon I preached last time, but just with different scriptures. So it is written. Now, last time, Daniel went to Proverbs chapter 3. Let's look at this scripture in Proverbs 3, verse 7. It says, so Daniel was just going through the scriptures. He went through quite a lot of scripture last week, and I saw this verse. And I thought, hey, there is a bullet for my gun. And it said here, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring nourishment to your, this will bring health to your bones and nourish health to your body and nourishment to your bones. And I thought, man, I've been getting some pains in my fingers, you know? Just like, you know, when you get, when things physically happen in your body, you can do two things. You can worry about it. You can think the worst. You can get a headache and think it's a brain tumor. And I'm not against doctors and stuff, but you need to not sit there and worry about it. And I just thought, man, here's not being wise in my own eyes. And I had to have a bit of an arrogance check. Do you know what I mean? Just a thought, Lord, how arrogant have I been recently? And there's another verse of scripture that says, almost identical, it says, envy rots the bones. And I would assume unforgiveness rots the bones. And that is a big area that you need to look at. If you're Twitter and bisted about someone, bitter and twisted about someone, if you've got someone, you know when you haven't forgiven someone because you just love to talk about them. You know, when people have got issues, they just keep talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. And you only have to move the conversation just slightly across, don't you? And they're on about it, and you think, man, I've heard this story 20 times, Lord. You want to just say, get over it. Maybe that's just not good to say, just get over it. But forgiveness, it has an effect on our physical health. So, but when we see a scripture that covers our case, we need to speak it out. You know, and so this week when I've been having, you know, one of my fingers is hurting a bit, I just speaking, Lord, your word is nourishment to my bones. I'm just believing that the moisture and healing is into my hands, and I speak it out. We have to say, and now I'm not suggesting you walk around talking out loud when people are around, but the Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." You know, these guys are going to get married today. You know, I got married. When I got married, my dad was marrying us, and if he said to me, you know, do you take this lady to be your lawfully wedded wife? And there was one answer, wasn't there? The answer was, I do. Now, if I said nothing at that point, I would not be married today. Because you have to physically open up your mouth. I mean, or write something on a piece of paper or something, but you've got to, and you know, people who can speak, we say, I do. And Melania said, I do. And hey, praise the Lord, the rest is history. I've been married for 27 years. So, which is a miracle. And anyway, here's another scripture that you know. Guys, what we tend to do is we sit there and we're listening to radio discouragement and we say absolutely nothing, all right? In the natural, if I accuse you, if I say something to you, if I tell you that one of your kids is stupid, or if I say something rude to you, you're going to come back fighting like a mashed cat. I'll be like, you're human beings. I know you're all sitting there looking at me like you know, butter wouldn't melt in your mouth. I know what you're like when you get cut up in the traffic, and you're honking your horn, and you're shouting at people, and you're just generally, you know, a human being. But we've got to be that vocal against the devil when he starts trying to stick something on us. And not just sit there going, and just keep, you know, be like that donkey that you just keep loading stuff on it until eventually it collapses. Here's a scripture in Joel chapter 3, and it says, let the weak say, I am strong. You know, you feeling weak. Yeah, okay, you might want to say to your wife or your husband, no, I'm not feeling great today. But at that point, you don't need to tell everyone you meet how weak you're feeling, because that is simply just going to make it worse. You at some point have got to say, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let the weak say, let the weakling say, I am strong. This is the testimony I'm talking about. This is how we overcome the devil. We need to become very vocal against his attacks. Let me, 1 John 4:18, real stuff. I mean, from time to time, I've woken up not just dreading the day, not wanting to get out of bed, feeling a spirit of fear on me. You know, there is such a thing as a spirit of fear. I don't deride people. I've never had a panic attack, but I can understand why people do have panic attacks. And, but I believe that, again, it's clearly of the devil. God is not putting panic attacks on people, so there must be a way through that panic attack. And let me, the verse here says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. This is a story I was reminded of this morning, a few years ago. About 10 years ago, my kids were younger. Tegan was about 7, and Jilly would have been about 13. And they had to. We were living in Bulgaria, and they were going to their granny, your mum and dad, my Charles and Joyce. They were going to their house, and we had to go to Sofia Airport, sign them on the aeroplane. And Jillian was bouncing up and down, absolutely happy. And I looked at Tegan, and she was having an attack of fear, and she was just curled up in a little ball, you know, just sitting there, and I just sensed in my spirit that fear hit me then, because I thought, man, if this kid is not in the right frame of mind, they're not going to let her on the aeroplane. You know, the kid needs to be compass mentors. They can't be having a panic attack. They're not going to take them. So I thought, Lord, what do I do? And so I sat down next to her. I said, Tegan, say this. I said, say Jesus loves me. And she said, Jesus loves me. I said, say God loves me. She said, God's love. I said, keep saying that. Because I was dealing with the people behind the desk. And within about a minute or two, I looked over and the thing had snapped. Because it's a spirit. It's not you haven't got a devil. You don't need exorcism. It's just a spirit that, you know, and you know what? I've noticed that really works really well. If you're feeling like you've got a panic attack coming on, start saying, Jesus, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you that you love me. Thank you that you love me as much about Jesus. Sing a song about God's love. Think about, you know, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Songs are great because they remind, you know, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. We're not talking about recording here. We're talking about using God's word and putting our mind off the accusations of the devil and onto the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And when we do that, it's like putting our fingers in a plug socket full of God's life, and it floods into our hearts, and it changes us, and it will break that. Another great scripture along this line is this, 2 Timothy 1:7. I think a lot of us know this. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. It says in the King James Bible, love, power, and a sound mind. Let me just talk to you about a sound mind, you know. It's not a joke to say I'm losing my mind. I think I've got Alzheimer's. You know, Alzheimer's is no joke. I've got an uncle that's got Alzheimer's. But I do believe that the devil is putting more and more Alzheimer's on people. And, you know, you need to confess, I have a sound mind. I have the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit reminds me of all things. There's a verse in the book of Deuteronomy. It says that under the curse of the law was madness, blindness, and confusion of mind. And you resist it. Sometimes, you know, you say, no, I will remember that thing. I will be as sharp as a pin in my 90s. Do you see what I'm saying? That is faith. That is not being weird. I believe what God said about me, and that he says that in my latter days I will greatly increase. I'm encouraged by people like Joshua and Caleb that were chopping people, you know, were waving swords around in their 80s, you know. I don't believe that it's certainly not God's will that anyone should lose their mind. And so therefore, you know, when we read the Lord's Prayer and it says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then we have a right to say, no, I'm having God's will here on this earth, and this earth, and this his will is that I'm not going to be losing my mind. Just as his will is that I not be, that I be healed and I be healthy. Just as his will is that I'm not starving to death with poverty, you know. For years, I used to say, because I've got a bit more money now than when I used to have, but I always used to say, every need is met and every bill is paid. And just saying that would, you know, just everyone say, every need is met, every bill is paid. Three times. A bit louder. And I'm out of debt. Yeah. Just saying stuff like that actually lifts your spirit. Lifts your spirit. Now, I think I just about covered all my scriptures, which is amazing. You know, sometimes I will go through Psalm 23. You know, the Lord. And this is what you're doing. It's not prayer. It's really not prayer. It's not worship, I suppose. You're not singing it unless you're singing it. But it is a testimony. It is faith. It is a spirit of faith. But you are actually imagining while you're saying that, you know, the Lord is, and I'm saying the Lord is my shepherd. I do not lack. Therefore, you won't hear me telling stories about how I very rarely tell people problems. You know what I mean? I keep them between me and my wife. But a lot of people have their whole life is about their problems. Because if I believe I've got a great big God, I don't need to tell everyone all the time. I'm not a problem. I want to be an encourager, you know? You know, I'm compassionate with people who've got problems, but, you know, to be honest, when people have all the time they come to see you and they just got another problem and they got another problem and everything's a disaster, eventually you start trying to avoid those sort of people. Do you know what I mean? You're having enough troubles of your own without having to soak up a load of other people's. You know, I want to be someone who is full of joy and is full of faith. And I'm not a problem. I'm not a person without problems, but I have got a big God. And I believe he can do anything. And I was just saying about Psalm 23, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in lack. I shall not want, okay? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul, my mind, will, and my emotions. I like this bit. He leads me in the right path of righteousness for his own namesake. You know, the path of a righteous man are ordered of God. I believe that this life I'm living is actually ordained of the Lord. And I am bearing fruit for the Lord. You know, I believe I'm in his will right now. Not going to get there one day, you know. I believe that I have been following along with him. And finally, it goes, you know, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Daniel was preaching on this last night. This is a great verse. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And then finally, and we need to say this out loud, and it says, surely goodness and love, or goodness and mercy, will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I'm not sure whether David wrote this psalm, but I like to think of David. And we read about David. He got to a good old age, didn't he? I mean, he was in more scrapes and did more crazy stuff than anyone else. I mean, when I read about the amount of wives he had and kids he had, the mind boggles. The mind boggles. David lived about eight lives. And had a heart, but had that heart after God. You know, that's amazing when you think about David, isn't it? Because David was far from a good guy, really. I mean, he was a good guy, but he did major sins, loads of them. And yet, I believe that he had that softness to the Lord. And obviously, he wrote this. He said, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, has followed me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's a great song by, you can get it on Spotify, Israel Houghton, or Houston, and he sings this song, My Latter Will Be Greater. There's a very great anointing on that song, and he goes, my latter will be greater, and he sings it and sings it. He's only got one line, and he sings it. But do you know what I mean? You need to, you know, when you're feeling depressed, you need to turn off ZZ Top and Stairway to Heaven. Do you know what I mean? I'm all for Stairway to Heaven. I enjoy it when it comes on the radio. But you can't fight the devil and listen to Stairway to Heaven at the same time. You need to get something positive on. You may not like, you know, I'm all for rock and roll. But there's certain times when you just need to get something that's anointed. And you need to put it on the stereo. And you need to start praising the Lord for it. And because the Bible says that the anointing breaks something. It says it breaks the yoke, but it does. It changes something. And so just to finish with, let's just say this. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Point to the person next to you and say this, all right? Preach to them. Say, surely goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever when you're dead. Yeah? Amen. Praise the Lord. So Father, I'm just going to pray to finish. Lord, I just thank you that fear is broken today in this room. Panic attacks are things of the past. We have a weapon against panic attacks, and that's your love. And Lord, I just thank you that we not only have we already overcome the devil, but we will continue to overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb that you sacrificed on the cross and the word of our testimonies. and the devil will not get one over us this week, because we will speak your word against him and he will flee. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will run from you as in terror. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah. Amen.